If you would, please take your Bibles and let's turn together to Luke chapter 6. We have about 15 minutes remaining together. And I want to pick up in what I began a week or so ago on the Christian and social graces, and speaking specifically about refinement. And of course, there are several different tiers of what we're going to be talking about in relationship to each other, in relationship to manners, relationship to etiquette, things of that nature, because, folks, we have to understand and know this affects our testimony. This affects our testimony. If I walk into a restaurant and I eat a meal and I throw a track down there and I walk out the door and I leave no tip, do I have any idea that that person is going to read that track? Because I have not done what I should by rewarding that individual for serving me during that particular time. And the same thing, you know, to throw a track down is almost like, you know, what was that about? You don't want to create a wall where a wall wasn't existing between you and that individual. You want them to be able to read it and to understand it. And I've seen folks, whenever I've handed them a track with cash in it or whatever, I said, hey, take just a few moments, if you would. I know you got a break coming up here or whatever. Would you take a few moments to read this? Our phone number's on the back, or you can go to our website or whatever and contact me. I'll be glad to talk with you. And they'll, most times they'll say, oh, sure, I'll do that, you know. Now, if you put a dollar in there with your track and you talk sweet talk or whatever, and they look at us and, you know, they're not going to pay any attention to you. Why? Because we have not been gracious. Amen. We have not been gracious. Look at this passage here in Luke chapter 6. Now, this is the parallel. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the parallel passage related to what we studied last week as far as our theme verse for this series, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, where we read beginning at verse 27 of Luke chapter 6, "But I say unto you, which hear." Now, listen to what the Lord's saying here. "But I say unto you, which hear." Not everybody hears. Not everybody's listening. Not everybody's concerned about what the Lord is saying. But He said, for those that are listening and those that are hearing, I've got something for you. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Now, you talk about going against our sensitivities and going against our the challenges of our heart. I shared with you on Sunday, I finished up a book called All the Gallant Men. And Mr. Don Stratton said the hardest thing that he ever did was to extend his hand out to a Japanese man that was at the Arizona. Japanese man was there, and he asked the man for forgiveness. He said, what we did was wrong. We didn't think it was wrong at the time. We thought we were doing it for God and country, which their God was the ruler, the emperor. And he said, there's no excuse for that. And the Japanese man extended his hand. And Don Stratton said, my first thing was to slap it away from him. Because all I could see and vision in my mind were the dead bodies of all my friends. And the gore that I saw that was created by an unprovoked attack. We see the natural side of it, do we not? But Mr. Stratton said, you know what? He said, I've learned in my life of 98 years at the time, that he said, the Lord forgave me. The Lord forgave me of all my sin. I've offended God in so many different ways. The least thing I can do is reach out my hand and shake his hand and maybe talk to him about his soul. He said, I had to look beyond the offense to the offender's soul. And a lot of times we don't do that. We only see the offense. And we never get to the need of that individual, and that's the offender's soul. Why did he offend me? Because his soul has got a problem. And he needs the Lord Jesus. And how will they know unless I go to them and carry the gospel to them? That's what Romans says. How will they hear unless you go? And so we've got to learn to get past the offense, and it's hard for people. It's hard for people. Dr. Hobbs used to tell the story about the two brothers that sat on either side of their father. The father was dying. They hadn't spoken to each other in 25 years, the two brothers. And the father was begging them as he's on his deathbed to get right with each other and said, you know, it's a long life to live without friendship of your own brother. And he finally died. And they sat on opposite sides of the church at the funeral. Wouldn't have anything to do with each other. Now, isn't that a sorry state to live in? Because they couldn't get past the offense of what the other one did and never could come to the place of the offender's need. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of those men needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got to learn that. And that's what the Lord. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Now you know what that is? Let's just call it what it is. That's social grace. That's just social grace. It's treating them just like you would treat your best friend. Now, do you see that there? Wouldn't you love your best friend? Wouldn't you pray for your best friend? Wouldn't you want to be concerned for your best friend? Yeah, well, that's what the Lord Jesus just said. Bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek also offer the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Well, that comes down to them taking what belongs to you. If they take your outer coat, go ahead and give them the one underneath. Now that goes totally against human sensitivities, does it not? It goes totally against that. Now some people say, well, this is for Israel and it's way off out in the future for the day and time. No, it's for us. It's for us. Because the heart of the Jew is just the same as the heart of the Gentile. Amen? We're all wicked. We're all sinful. And we all need the Lord Jesus. And He said, listen, you need to love them which despitefully use you and take stuff away from you. Learn. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, this is known as the golden rule. Did you know the golden rule is in the Bible? I had one time, I was challenged by a student a number of years ago that said, there's no such thing as the golden rule. I said, yes, there is. I said, it's not called that, but that's what it is. And took him to Matthew 7 and verse 12 and took him over here to Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, folks, that covers all aspects of life. All of them. It hits all the bases. Some of us live life like some people play preteen. Okay? When they first start out, okay, they'll hit the ball and they'll chunk the bat and run to third. And you'll see the coach say, no. I can hear Miss Barbara on the ponies. Don't go there, go the other way, go there. She has a voice that will not bark off of a tree. And it's just so funny. They'll be running to third base. And there are some people that live that way. They don't know how to go to town. They don't know how to play baseball. They don't know how to play pre-tee. I mean, who don't know how to run bases? There are people that don't. Bless their heart. They don't know what to do. And you're starting from scratch with 3- and 4-year-olds. You know, when we first started pre-tee, it was for 5-year-olds. And then we crept down to 4-year-olds. And now we're down to 3-year-olds. We've got 3-year-olds that are playing t-ball. It's amazing. There was a little 3-year-old that was in the office this week. Boy, he was a big one. And he was running around there. You could tell he had energy. But he had older, I've watched this through the years. Younger children with older siblings always do well in athletics because they've been around somebody, been exposed to somebody. And so you'll see 5-year-olds that have no older siblings, and bless their hearts, they don't know how to do anything. But some of these 3-year-olds, they'll come in there, they can run the bases, they can catch the ball, they can do all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to this matter, folks, of Christian grace and social graces, It's a biblical thing, and it affects your testimony. It affects your testimony. But one thing you want to avoid is what I've got up on the screen right there. And that's where the artificial comes in. Have you ever seen the Channel 15 smiles that they have on the news? You know? Today, three people were killed in an accident on I-10. I don't get that myself. You know, it's all right if you're sad, if you want to do that, but they're grinning from the time they start. And then as soon as the green light goes off and the red light, they'll switch into their everyday mode, and then they'll come back on with a big bright smile. And our weatherman now is going to share with us. It could be storming, hurricanes, tornadoes, and they're just happy, 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 that kind of stuff. It's not real. They're not happy about the weather. They're not happy about the news, but they've been taught how to be a professional smiler. And it's artificial. We can see right through that, can we not? You can this syrupy talk. Boy, better people are professional syrup pourers. They're just syrupy. How you doing, honey? That down here at the gas station, they'll honey, sweetie pie, whatever. And next thing you know, there'll be guys that'll be hauling out a whole grocery basket full of stuff because they just want to hear the sweet talk because they don't hear it at home. You know. It's not Valentine's Day every day, right? But they can go to the Shell station and they can get honey, sweetie. How you doing, honey? How you doing, sweetie pie? You know, ooh, I got called sweetie pie, you know. You know, it's just, they don't think you're a sweetie pie. You really believe that? I mean, that's just artificial. It's artificial. It's not real. And you want to avoid it like the plague when it comes to this matter of social graces. Let it be natural. Do I hear an amen? Just natural. All right? Just natural. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our tendency is to memorize by rote what we're supposed to do, and we go through the motions and we do what we're supposed to do because this is the way we've been taught how to do it. Well, that's fine when you're teaching children, but you want it to become what? Just rote behavior? No, you want it to flow from their heart. You know, the first time that I heard Dada, man, that was something special. I'd been listening to Mama for I don't know how long. And finally the Dada came out and it was just like a praise the Lord moment. He realizes he's got a daddy. And she realizes that she's got a daddy. It was really special. All right? Now, I don't honestly believe that when Elizabeth said Dada for the first time, she was just pouring out love and affection. All right? Because she knew that when she said Dada and came running to Daddy, Daddy's going to pick her up. Right? So it's a response type thing. But hopefully, we're past the Dada now. Now it's just Dad, I need money. All right? But, you don't want it to be artificial, and neither does God. Neither does God. He wants it to be real. He wants it to flow from your heart and not just from your head. Very quickly, we looked at these three heart attitudes last time. These are the foundation of social graces right here. All right? These are biblical. They're just as biblical as God's name. His Son's name, these things come right out of God's heart. Number one, He wants you to be gracious. Why? Because He's gracious. That's the whole standard. You want to know how to be gracious? You look at God. All right? 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. Oh, I have to grow in it? Yeah, it's not natural. It's not natural. You have to grow. You got to put fertilizer on it. You got to tend to it. You got to pull the weeds out of your grace garden. And you got to get to growing in that and let it get bigger and bigger and bigger. Sincerity. We talked about sincere is the Latin term from which our word sincerity comes from. And it means without wax. Without wax? Yeah. They used to fill cracks in stones that were used in the building of buildings to kind of pass it off. They'd put it up a little bit higher or put it on the back side of the building. And they'd fill the cracks with wax. But when it got really hot, it would all melt and flow out, and so they'd have to go back up there and fix it again. All the stones without cracks got put where people would see them. But then they would take those other stones that they had quarried and worked so hard on. They weren't about to send them back to the quarry. They were going to use them, but they'd put them in a place where they were not as conspicuous. Without wax, sincere, and then selflessness. Galatians 2 and verse 20, that's the forever standard of selfishness, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Selfless. Selfless. God sent His Son, and Jesus, we're told, obeyed His Father. He was obedient unto the cross. It's easy to be obedient whenever there's a simple command given, but give your life for lost sinners, shed your blood, and die for lost sinners, that's a whole different level of obedience, is it not? And that's exactly what He forever set the bar of what it means to be selfless. And you and I need to see that very quickly. I'm going to just leave this with you. Courtesy. Take a moment to read that. Can you read it? Impolite. The man says, "You're a fat pig." All right? Polite, sort of, at the top there. Two words. Weight Watchers. All right? Now, the reason I put this picture, it's humorous, all right? It's funny. But I want you to move past that. All right? And I want you to think about true courtesy, not true courtesy, sort of. All right? I want us to get to the true part of it. Anna Samabat Turner, she is an Indian lady, and she has written extensively on politeness and etiquette and things of that nature. She said this, "Being polite and considerate is essential to a good testimony for Christ." It's not just needed, it's essential. It's a primary component of the Christian life. And Lord willing, we're going to get into this a little bit further because we're going to move into this area where we're living today in the United States of America. We're living in the world of the rude, where we're just, impoliteness has just become the norm. Rudeness. Unbelievably so. That you cannot even conduct a conversation without being shouted down or use rude terms and so forth. We ought to show respect, even to people that we don't like. We ought to show respect. Let them go that way. We'll take the high road, they can take the low road. Now sometimes those things don't end that well. Sometimes that's what it takes. You have to confront those kind of situations, and maybe somebody will start thinking, and they'll learn how to behave themselves at a ballpark or learn how to behave themselves in those kind of settings. Social graces, folks, is essential to the Christian testimony. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd help us to take to heart the things that are in Your Word. Lord, You've said so much about this subject in Your Word, and we're only going to scratch the surface, but I pray that You'd help us to learn and to understand how important it is to exercise common social grace and to get past ourselves and get past offending others and do what's right. And let Your Holy Spirit work in our lives to allow the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be performed in our hearts and lives, whereby we treat others the way that Jesus Christ treats us. We're so thankful, Father, tonight for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that reached down and took dirty, rotten sinners and showed love to them and performed the work of the cross for them and rose again bodily from the tomb for them, having shed His blood for them, that they might have forgiveness of sin. Oh, Lord, there will be no one on this earth that will ever surpass that kind of grace. But help us, Father, to aspire to be gracious, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.